Hello, book lovers, and welcome to Book Talk Radio Club. My name is Claire Perkins, and today I'm talking to author Annette Swan. Annette is the author of Burnt Face, Scarred for Life. Growing up in Melbourne, Australia, Annette tells the struggle of surviving severe third-degree burn injuries at the tender age of 9 as a result of one irresponsible adult's actions at a Christmas barbecue. Annette shares the last days of her normal childhood before her life changed. It tells her story in great detail of the day she was scarred for life. Burnt Face is an emotionally moving story about the profound impact the horrific scars made to her childhood and follows her struggle into adolescence. It's a story of friendships, overcoming bullying, and growing into a strong and rebellious teen in the notorious suburbs of Broadmeadows, known for boisterous youth and gangs during the 70s and 80s. Hi, Annette. First of all, welcome and thank you for coming on Book Talk Radio Club.
Thanks for having me, Claire. It's great to be on your show. It's really good.
Thank you. Why did you decide to write the book Burnt Face?
Well, I guess when I moved from Melbourne to Mackay, I met a lady, a teacher friend of mine, and we used to go walking every morning. Mm-hmm. And I would tell her the stories of my life in Melbourne.
Right.
And when I got burnt, and she used to say to me, "You need to write a book." And you know, this went on for about 2 years, and then eventually I said, "You know what? I'm going to write that book."
Mm-hmm.
And so I started that. But I also, I just wanted to have something for my kids to understand, because they've never really asked me about what happened. So I wanted them to have an understanding of, you know, my life and how I got burnt and what I went through.
Right.
And I really wanted to get it out there to inspire other children who've been burnt, and, you know, let their families know that they play a very important role in how we become adults, and you know, we couldn't do it without them and their support. So, you know, that's been part of it too.
It must have been very painful to write your story, or did you find it cathartic?
Look, although it was really traumatic, because I had to get myself right back into that moment and relive everything as that 9-year-old girl. It was also cathartic because it sort of got me through a bit of healing, but not just me, my mother, because Mum's always blamed herself for what happened, even though it wasn't her fault.
Sure.
But she was never able to read the book. She got through the first couple of pages, and then it was too much for her. So when I put my head down to really get into it and get the book out, because it was 10 years in the making, you know, a lot of that was procrastinating, and I don't think I was really ready to put myself out there. But once I put my head down and gave myself a time frame, I asked Mum to be my sub-editor before I sent it off to the editor.
Right.
And she read each chapter as I finished it, and it was really good for her because it got her to realise that, you know, I admire her for making me the strong and confident person I am today. And, you know, it wasn't her fault that someone poured methylated spirits on a barbecue, you know. Yeah, it just happened.
Did the person ever apologise to you?
No. It happened at my mum's work Christmas barbecue,
right,
having a social gathering.
Mm.
And it was a work colleague of my mother. It was her son-in-law. And he poured methylated spirits on the barbecue. My brother and I were sitting in front of it, and the flames shot up and exploded the bottle, and he threw the bottle. I pushed my brother out the way, and I copped the brunt of the explosion. Now, we went to the hospital, and, you know, I only found out when I was finalising the book that he was actually in the car that took us to the hospital because he burned his arm from the explosion.
Right.
But as soon as they transferred me to a children's hospital, we never saw him again, and he never admitted to doing it. was mine and my brother's word against his, and us being 9 and 11, it couldn't be held up.
Right.
And nobody at the barbecue admitted to witnessing it, so, you know.
Unbelievable.
Mum basically was, no one ever contacted her or spoke to her, and, you know, we've sort of brushed aside. I mean, I know it was an accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really, really hoping that through media or other channels or the book itself, I can meet with him to forgive him. I know who it is. I know his name.
Yeah.
But I really want to be able to meet with him and forgive him and actually thank him, because I probably wouldn't have the life that I have now.
Yeah.
Going through what I did. So, you know.
You had a number of surgeries to correct the scarring. When was the last one?
The last one was actually only 7 years ago in 2010.
Oh, right.
I left Melbourne in 1991, and just before I left Melbourne, I had skin taken from my stomach area from hip to hip, 2 inches thick by 2 inches wide. And my neck was literally cut from ear to ear, and they lifted my neck and put the skin in under there to give me more movement.
Yeah.
And then I left Melbourne. Like, I had my dermabrasions and everything. It was quite a massive surgery before I left. So for 20 years living up here, I never had any further surgeries. But I always had a bit of a loose skin under my chin and jaw.
Right.
So I actually had to have other surgery, and I said to the plastic surgeon, can you do something about this skin? So that was the last surgery I had relating to the scars. My plastic surgeon in Melbourne, I recently made contact with him after 27 years. I sent him a book, and he's quite well known. He was actually Dr. Anthony Holmes. He was the surgeon who separated Trishna and Krishna.
Right.
They were conjoined twins.
Mm.
And he's done a lot of work with craniofacial in that field of surgery. So he was pioneering a lot of surgeries when he took on me as a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I was sort of the guinea pig for dermabrasions on burn scars, because they only used to ever be done on acne scarring.
Right.
But he was amazing. Like, he did a fantastic job.
Do you use a special kind of makeup for concealment?
No. When I was younger, Mum took me to special places to, and we tried different concealing makeup, but they cost a fortune, and we, you know, we couldn't really afford to maintain that. So I actually ended up, Max Factor Pan Stick gave me wonderful coverage.
Right.
And, you know, over the years I've worn makeup all my life. I don't even leave the house without having makeup on my face. But, you know, even as a 52-year-old, not giving away my age, giving it away, I'm now using like an Estee Lauder liquid, which is great coverage as well. So, no, I the only concealer I use is what you would normally use for, you know, baggy eyes or whatever.
You say in that quote, inner strength is something that we all have, but we usually don't realise this until we are confronted with something that makes us draw on the strength. At what point did you realise you had this inner strength?
Look, I think it was over a course of time. There were several things that I had to draw on inner strength. And, you know, if I could give you some examples.
Sure.
I guess going through the numerous surgeries and physiotherapy sessions, you know, you do find the strength to get through all that pain and keep going. And, you know, I guess another major time was my first day back at school after I was burnt. Mum was advised to send me straight back to school,
right,
so that I would become reclusive. So 2 weeks after I got out of hospital, I went to school, and You know, I had bandages, I had a plaster collar, a felt chin strap that wrapped around my head, and hair that was above my ears because all my long hair had been burnt off. So, and one of my ears was burnt. And when I walked into that classroom, and I talk about it in the book, you know, I felt like a freak, a monster, and you could just tell by the gasps and the looks and, you know, the nudging and whispering of the other kids, you know, these 9 and 10-year-olds. It took all the strength I had to just stand there and not race back out the door.
I bet.
You know, those type of things. And then I guess, you know, in my teens I was followed home by a group of girls and you know, as you were saying, we grew up in a rough area in Melbourne, so there was a lot of physical violence and whatnot, and I actually got followed home by about 6 girls egging me on to fight with them, and even though I'd already built up the tough skin and I had become, you know, a strong person myself, I ignored them, and when I got home I just broke down. I felt like I was weak, and you know, Mum actually said to me, it takes a strong person to ignore it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of things over the years that have made me draw on inner strength, and when you look back at it, and as I said, it's cathartic writing about it because you realise you have these little epiphanies about, gee, you know, I got through that. And as an adult, going back to that child, you think, my God, how did you get through that?
You suffered much bullying and teasing but overcame it to grow up into a rebellious teenager. How did you rebel in it?
Well, I mean, you know, as a child I was taunted with the name Burnt Face, and that's how why I named the book that, because I actually took ownership of it. So I rebelled against the bullies that were trying to make me cower, and I guess, you know, I stood up to them, which made me stronger and more confident. And even in high school, you know, even with the boys, I was sort of the one that looked after the kids that weren't strong or confident, and you know, the nerdy, I guess you could say, the nerdy type of kids I'd put under my wing. There was a small Italian boy who was being bullied by a tall, you know, big kid, and he contacted me on Facebook when Facebook first came into play, and he said, I never forgot you, Annette. You actually went up and, you know, basically told off this bully and said to him, don't you touch him again, and really blah, blah, blah. And Charlie, the Italian boy, said to me, he never came near me again, you know, and he never forgot that. But even, you know, even as teenagers, from the age of 12, we were hanging out with a group of boys in gangs and, you know, smoking cigarettes and drinking and crashing parties. And then obviously where there's parties and alcohol, there was fighting and, you know. So I guess I kind of rebelled against being bullied and in a sense became one, but not in, you know, not in the sense that I taunted people, just became aggressive, I guess, so that it covered my insecurities.
Well, sure, it was a form of defence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As kids, we tend to want to fit in with our peers. It must have been extremely hard for you. What would you say to your younger self now?
I've been asked this before, and you know, hindsight, isn't it wonderful? Look, I guess all of my friends had boyfriends. It was the era when, you know, teens were all boyfriends and girlfriends, and I was always the friend, you know.
Yeah.
I like you too much as a friend, and I used to always think, you know, I wish I had a boyfriend. Is it ever going to happen? No one will like me because of my scars. And so I guess what I'd say to my younger self is, you are perfect the way you are. Give yourself time to learn to love you.
Yeah.
And then once you really and truly love yourself, you can be loved.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's so important. And for me, like, my husband's my rock. I adore him, and he sort of sits in the background and lets me do this sort of stuff, and, you know, doesn't get in there. And I mean, he's like my rock. So I didn't meet him until I was 27.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't realize what truly loving someone and being loved was until then.
Oh, one kiss on New Year's Eve changed your world. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, as I said, we sort of knocked around with a group of boys, and myself and a couple of my friends were sitting on our lawn just before New Year, and a car pulled up, a ute, and two of the guys we knew were in the ute, and there was another guy in there, and I'd never seen him before, and he was quite cheeky and had tattoos on him, and I sort of said to my friend, "Who's that?" And she said, "Oh, that's Mark." And he used to know her sister. And the guys were like, "Come on, jump in, we're going for a drive." And we went to get in the car, and my older brother came out, and he's like, "Get inside, or I'm going to go and tell, you know, Mum when she gets home." So I didn't go with them.
Right.
But apparently, you know, when they were driving around, he'd been asking about, you know, me and what happened, and
sure.
And my friend decided to invite him to our New Year's party. So I remember when he walked in, and I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really thinking of anything. And then New Year came, and the girl said, "There's someone at the front door for you." And when you walked into our house, there were three doors. The left side was the lounge room. In front of you was the kitchen, and to the right was my mother's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you shut the doors, it was like you were in a little square alcove. So I went to go to the front door, and all of the doors shut, and it was like, oh. And then Mark walked in and said, "Happy New Year," and gave me a kiss, and it was my first kiss. And it's funny when I talk about it in the book, because it still sort of spins me out now that it was so unexpected. But I guess what really changed my life was probably the moment that I thought, you know, I am like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, someone is wanting to kiss me, and you know, he asked me to be his girlfriend, and it was like, wow, it was just so mind-blowing that it happened like that. And yeah. I guess from that moment on, I realized some people just don't care about looks aren't always everything, and so what? I had some scars, and that was his attitude, you know. I don't care what anyone else thinks. So, yeah, it was life-changing.
Where can Book Talk Radio Club listeners purchase Burnt Face?
They can purchase print copies on my website, which is www.annetteswann.com / burnt face. And there's also links to the Amazon, both Australia and Amazon.com.
Right. That's lovely. Thank you, Annette. That was fascinating. And thank you so much for talking to us about your book and your experience. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Book Talk Radio Club. Thanks, Annette. You have a lovely day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye.